I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
Today we're going to cook up a coffee-crusted Chipotle flank steak.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Welcome to episode 42 of Cooking with Fire. Today's episode is going to be a little different as I'm going to be interviewing Chef Tom about his experience cooking at the Food Network and Cooking Channel South Beach Wine and Food Festival in Miami, Florida. So let's start off with what the South Beach Wine and Food Festival is and how you were invited to cook.
Yeah, so the festival's pretty much like a 4 or 5 day party in South Beach, Miami, right there on the beach. All the hotels that line the beach have different events going on at all times, it seems like, throughout the day and into the night and late into the night. It's a really good time. It raises some money for Florida International University. Those hospitality students come and volunteer their time to work with us. But really, it's like spring break for chefs. Like, just all of the chefs of the world come to South Beach and have a good time for a handful of days. The way we got invited was a really cool story, I feel like. Just being there and cooking some events, I noticed that there weren't a lot of barbecue superstores represented. Most of the chefs there, you know, they own a restaurant or they cook for a restaurant, which puts us in a little bit different category since we're a retail store and I do cooking classes and cooking videos. So what happened was the YouTube channel has done really well, All Things BBQ. It's kind of taken off in the past year, which is fantastic. And you know, that got us noticed by some of the right people. Shout out to Lizzie. She and her family got into the video. She's associated with the festival, works with bringing in some of the chefs. So word kind of worked its way up, and they really wanted to have us there because they enjoyed the YouTube channel. Pretty cool deal.
So you cooked a pair of events in South Beach. The first was the Burger Bash. Give us a rundown of what that was and what you cooked.
Yeah, so Burger Bash, I think about 45 chefs this year. I heard it's bigger than it's ever been. But 45 different chefs each get their own little space on the beach and a grill or whatever cooking surface they want, and come up with a really great burger recipe for us. We get to be creative a lot when it comes to recipes. A lot of restaurants are known for a certain burger, so maybe that's the burger they're serving. But it's a people's choice contest. It's a judged contest. Schweid & Sons was sponsoring. I believe that they were doing some of the judging this year. Or were the sponsor for the judged prizes. And then there was a Red Robin competition where if you win, your burger ends up on their menu for a year, I believe. But really, it's just a big party. I mean, there are some contests going on, but I think it's more about the atmosphere. There were, I don't know how many, it was more than 3,000 people that showed up. So we're pretty much just slinging burgers all night long. You know, we were cooking on the Yoder Smokers pellet grill. We were cooking on a Kamado Joe. We were cooking on a flat top just because we needed extra space. But it was just like good 3.5 hours of pounding out burgers and hanging out with people and getting some feedback. And Guy Fieri was hosting, so he came by, said what's up, got a fist bump from him, and a job well done. So it was a fun experience.
And what was the burger that you actually created for this? What was the recipe? What'd you do?
Right. So our burger, we were calling it the Bacon Jam Smash Burger. So it was essentially a play on a classic diner burger cooked on a griddle top. So you get that nice crispy crust. It's a pretty thin burger with the cheese melted right on top. We had a cream Havarti that was fantastic with the dish. And then just to sort of, I don't know, shake things up a little bit, we created this bacon jam that's got coffee in it, which I think plays to the diner thing well, but it's a reduction of bacon and caramelized onions and brown sugar and maple syrup and coffee. So all of these great earthy flavors and the saltiness of the bacon, that was kind of the star of the show.
So that was Friday night. Then you guys had a day to prep for Sunday, which was the beachside barbecue. How was the prep space?
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. The prep space was about 20 minutes into Miami, downtown Miami, and it's actually the Miami Rescue Mission. So it's a, you know, like a homeless mission. And it was just this wide open space, prep tables placed out, and then they bring you whatever tools you need, and you just go fast and furious with a bunch of culinary students. Luckily, we had Chef Bell, who was there to head up everything and organize everything, and their crew was amazing. We had kind of an adventure getting there. We got stuck in Kansas with some bad weather and missed out on a day of prep. So the festival called and said, hey, what do you need done? We'll get these students to do it for you. And they knocked out about 225 pounds of romaine lettuce and 40 pounds of cheese they had to slice for our burgers. So, you know, it's not like going into your kitchen and you have everything you need right there, but they made it really comfortable.
And finally, you cooked the beachside barbecue on Sunday night. What was that and what did you cook?
Yeah, so beachside barbecue, maybe a slightly more laid-back version of what the Burger Bash was, but same space right there on the beach. It was pretty cool because, you know, we had all our prep done on Saturday, so when it came to Sunday morning, we just walked downstairs out of the hotel onto the beach and into our cooking space. We got there about 10 a.m. and started smoking cabbage. We did a smoked slaw to go with this flank steak recipe that we're gonna share with you guys today. And we just kind of hung out on the beach. There were some beers, there were, you know, some lawn chairs. There weren't many shoes around. There's a lot of barefoot cooking. It was a good time. We got to know some of our neighbors because a lot of people were hanging out slow cooking stuff, much like we were with our smoked slaw.
So Friday night, there was a ton of people around. It was a big party. What about Sunday?
Yeah, so the party ramps up a little bit later. You get started earlier, which was kind of nice. We're cooking in the daylight, but still a few thousand people around, having a great time, kind of getting to hang out with the guests. In fact, we put them to work. They were flipping their own flank steaks, and we were back there. Once again, fast and furious, just cranking out as much food as we could in as short a period of time as possible. So, it was a fun party. There was a People's Choice Award. I believe Chris Lilly took that home with Big Bob Gibson. He was hanging out with Michael Simon down there. But, you know, just getting to know the people right around us was great. We definitely formed some friendships that'll last a while.
It seems like you guys had an awesome time. Are you hoping to get another chance to cook South Beach?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great time. I have to say, like, we worked hard. We came home and needed a vacation from South Beach, but it was such a good time. So many great people. The festival was run incredibly well. Callie and Randy did a great job on the events that we competed in. We would love to come back and cook again, and I'm already brainstorming menu items for next year.
All right, so now's the time to get into the flank steak recipe that Chef Tom and the crew cooked for the beachside barbecue. So let's cut to the ATBBQ.com teaching kitchen and get started.
So anytime that we're preparing this flank steak dish, or any flank steak dish for that matter, the very first thing that we're going to do is start by trimming the steak. Flank steak is known to have a lot of silver skin and tough fat around it. These things we don't need on there when we're cooking. They're going to make it tougher in the end. So I'm just sliding my knife underneath any white or silver looking material right along the surface. You want to cut that, get rid of it. Any thick, harder spots of fat, we'll get rid of those. That fat is not going to help keep this dish moist or retain moisture or anything like that. So we can get rid of that. Most of the time when you're buying a flank steak from a grocery store or a big box store like that, they come about halfway trimmed. So there's not a ton of work to do, but you can always clean it up a little bit better to make sure that in the end, the finishing bite is better than if you had done nothing at all. All right, so I've got this thing shaped up pretty nicely. This is probably about 1.25 to 1.5 pound flank steak. The next step in the process is to get this in some marinade. So the marinade I've mixed up today is an apple juice-based marinade with some chipotle and adobo. We've also got some salt, some sugar, some brown sugar. So it's really basic, four ingredients. The acid from the apple is going to work to tenderize the meat, and the salt content in here is also going to help this piece of meat to retain some moisture in the end. So we get to do a couple of things here. We get to both marinate and brine this piece of meat at the same time by using acid and salt. So I've just mixed this until the brown sugar and salt are completely dissolved. Our chipotles and adobo, our chipotles are all chopped up so we get plenty of that flavor throughout the marinade. And what I'm going to do is submerge the flank steak in my container here. You can do this in a zip top bag. You can weigh it down in a shallow flat container. Anything to make sure that the meat is not exposed to air, so it's fully encompassed by the brine. So at this point, you want to let it go about an hour per pound. So like I said, 1.25 pound, 1.5 pound, we'll give this a good 90 minutes to soak. Well, I'm getting ready to remove the flank steak from the brine marinated mixture. But what I've done before that while we were taking our break is go ahead and fire up the grill. So I just want to tell you about the grilling setup today. What we're doing is what I would consider a high heat direct grill today. And what you can pull from that is that high heat, pretty general term, I would consider to be anything above 450 degrees. Direct grill means that there is no barrier between your heat source and the meat itself. So If you're cooking over charcoal, there's no plate in between. If you're cooking over a wood fire, there's no diffuser plate in between. You just want to make sure that your heat has direct contact with the meat. And the reason we're doing that is because this is a fairly thin piece of meat, so we're going to try and get as much color on this as we can, as much char flavor, without going overboard in the amount of time that it takes to get this to medium rare, because one of the important things about flank steak is that you need to cook it to medium rare at most. Otherwise, it's going to get tough on you. All right, so I'm going to remove this from the marinade now, about 90 minutes. Just let some of that excess liquid drip off. Might take a paper towel. Get rid of any excessive amounts of liquid on the surface of the meat. Now, to leave a little behind is okay. Obviously, that liquid's got some flavor on it, which is good. Also, we need something to help bind our rub to the meat. So a little bit of marinade liquid, not a bad thing to have on the surface there. Now, speaking of the rub, what I've made for our steak today is a coffee steak rub. This is another really simple recipe. It consists of turbinado sugar, ground coffee, kosher salt, chipotle powder, and garlic powder. That's it. So I'll be sure to throw in the quantities for you guys on the recipe. But this is a really simple way to add a big earthy flavor to your steak. This is a fairly coarse rub. And because of that, I can go a little bit heavier on the seasoning, give it a really nice crust. Now, this is a little bit higher in sugar content than a lot of steak rubs. And what that's going to do for us is caramelize a little bit more on the outside. I already talked about that crust we want to form. Adding some of this turbinado sugar to the mix, it really increases the caramelization that happens on the outside. All right, so once you get all sides of the flank steak seasoned up with the coffee rub, you're just going to let it sit up for about 5 minutes. And during this time, the rub's really going to attach itself to the meat, and those flavors are going to start to work their way in there. Meanwhile, I'm going to go outside, check on our grill, and see if we're ready to go. All right, we've got the Yoder Smoker's Pellet Grill fired up. It's coming up to temperature. These grill grates are getting nice and hot. We're right around 425 right now, so I'm going to give this about 10 more minutes just to make sure that the grates are super hot when the meat hits it so we can get the best possible sear. All right, well, the grill is smoking hot now. The steak, you can see that the rub is really attached to it. The entire thing looks wet, so I know that that's ready to go. I hit the grates with just a little bit of vegetable oil to make sure that our rub doesn't stick too much, and this is ready to go on. Now, this part really doesn't take too terribly long. In fact, I'll set a timer so that we can see just how long it's going. What we're looking to do is get some really good color on the bottom side, some nice grill marks. Probably turn it so we can get some nice crosshatch marks on this. And then we'll flip it over. And like I said, we want to finish at about 125. So I'm going to let this do its work, and we'll come back to turn it here in just probably about 5 minutes. All right, so it's been just about 4 minutes total. The meat is releasing from the grates when you try to pick it up, and the color is beautiful. The grill grates always do a great job with that. So I'm going to give this just a little bit of a turn so we get a nice crosshatch on there. We'll check on it another 3 minutes or so. At this point in the cook, there's always a bit of a debate on whether you should be closing the lid or leaving the lid open. I think partially it depends on what sort of grill you're cooking on, but the goal is to make sure that you don't overcook this. So I always say, if at first you want to leave the door open, that might be the wisest decision. Because if you take this thing too far, you can't slow it down to try and get a little color on the opposite side. We want to try and cook this evenly, so all the way to the center from both sides. So my recommendation would be start with the door open, and if you need to finish with the door closed to bring that internal temperature up, you can always do that later. All right, it's been 6 minutes total now. Our color is looking really good on the first side, so I'm gonna flip this over, make sure we can get some really good color on the opposite side. Now, at this point, it's a good idea for you to have an instant read thermometer on hand. That's always gonna let you know where you're at temperature-wise. If I probe this right now, dead center is 85 degrees, and that's a good thing because that gives us a little bit of time, about 30 degrees worth of time, to get some good color on the bottom side of this steak before we get it overcooked. All right, so about 8.5, 9 minutes in here, really great color on the bottom side. Now we're just looking to bring up the internal temperature. We're now sitting at about 110 in the thickest part of the steak. At this point, I'm gonna close the lid, and it's just a waiting game. Well, we're right at 11 minutes now. This thing is done. It's at 125 internal. I'm gonna pull this off of here. You wanna get a little bit of time to rest, maybe about 5 to 10 minutes, so that those juices that have run to the center of the steak can now kind of redistribute throughout the entire thing. And that way, every single slice is nice and juicy. In the meantime, I'm gonna whip up just a little bit of sauce to go with our flank steak. So what we're making for the sauce today is what I'm calling the South Beach sauce. We came up with this sauce for our trip to South Beach for the Food Network and Cooking Channel South Beach Wine and Food Fest, and we wanted to bring something new and a little bit fun. We didn't want to just pour barbecue sauce over something, but we also had to feed the masses, so we had to do something that was kind of easy. And so that works out for all of us now that we have this simple recipe that's so tasty. And what it starts with is just a sweet barbecue sauce. You can pick any of your favorite sweet barbecue sauces. If it's got some fruit in it, all the better. A little bit of heat, I like that. The sauce we're using today actually has some blackberries and some raspberries in it. So we're gonna go two parts on the barbecue sauce to one part of mayonnaise. Beyond that, all we need is a little bit of minced garlic to bring out the savory notes in the barbecue sauce. So we're just gonna mix this together really well. I wanna hit it with a little bit of salt and just a little bit of fresh cracked pepper. Give that a taste, and it really classes up your barbecue sauce. It's something fancy enough that will allow you to take your talents down to South Beach, I guess. Very nice. All right, just a few more minutes of rest on this steak. We're gonna slice this super thin, which brings us to the last part and one of the most important parts of the preparation of this steak, and that is you gotta slice across the grain. If you slice with the grain, you've got super long muscle fibers that you're just gonna chew on for days. If you slice at a 90 degree angle to those muscle fibers, it gives you the illusion of chewing on a very tender piece of meat. And I guess it's really not an illusion at all because it is incredibly tender. You can pull it right apart with your hands, but you gotta be down at that medium rare. You can't go beyond that, and you gotta go across the grain or against the grain. So I recommend using a super sharp knife, some sort of slicer or carving knife. And I like to go a little thinner than pencil thickness on these slices because the thinner you can get the slice, the more tender it's going to feel. That's beautifully cooked, perfectly pink in the middle. And if I tug on one of these slices, comes right apart. As I give this a taste, I love the earthiness of the coffee. It's a little bit sweet from the turbinado sugar, and it's plenty savory, and you get some of the chipotle heat on the back end as well. Along with our sauce, just a little dip in there. It's creamy, it's fruity, it's a little bit sweet, but it's not overboard. I mean, we're taking essentially a savory item like a steak, preparing it with barbecue flavorings. It's a really great balance of savory and sweet.
That does it for today's episode. Let us know if you cook this recipe and email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what else you'd like us to feature on the show.
And as always, visit kmuw.org to get the full recipe for this week's cook.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. This allows us to reach more listeners. And join us next time as Chef Tom cooks up picanha.